States of sin have become obedient from the heart to the formal teaching to which you were entrusted. And that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
This is not easy for me, but this is not about me. This is about God. So please, first and foremost, join me in prayer.
Father, we thank you. We ask that you grace us with your presence right now, O Lord. We ask that you bind up everything that is not of you, every thought, every feeling, every emotion that does not belong here right now, Lord. Whether it's worry about a bill or relative, heartache or pain, right now it's all about you, Father. Father, I ask that I may decrease, that you may increase. Let this message be about your word and what you have for us. This I ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Woo! Today we're going to talk about serving in obedience, or being obedient in your service. We're all the young people that middle school all the way up to high school. Make sure you got a Bible. I got a feeling this is more about y'all. Something that you're going to need throughout life. Please grab a Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 through 23. Say amen when you got it. Yes, sir. Chapter 15, verse 1 through 23, 1 Samuel. Right. Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did in opposing the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have done, all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Samuel summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 soldiers of Judah. Saul came to the city of the Amalekites and lay in wait in the valley. Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, leave, withdraw from among the Amalekites, or I will destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites withdrew from the Amalekites. Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. He took King Agag of the Amalekites alive, but utterly destroyed the people with the edge of the sword. Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, of the cattle, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was valuable, and would not utterly destroy them, all that was despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. "I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands." Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and Samuel was told Saul went to Carmel, where he set up a monument for himself And on returning, he passed on down to Gilgal. When Samuel came to Saul, Saul said to him, "May you be blessed by the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night," he replied. "Speak." Samuel said, "Though you are little in your own eyes, though you were little in your own eyes, you are not the head of the tribes of Israel. The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go, utterly destroy the sinners and Amalekites and fight against them till they are consumed.' Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission onto which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But from the spoil, the people took sheep and cattle, the best of things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Surely to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the fat of the rams. For rebellion is no less a sin than divination, and stubbornness like an iniquity or idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king." So, my lesson for today, obedience. Be obedient in all that you do. Because when you're disobedient, there are consequences. The Lord sent Saul on a mission. He said, "Utterly destroy them." But what did he do? He changed it. And the question you've asked, well, it was the good stuff. It was stuff we could use. We wanted to make sacrifices to God. That's not what God asked you to do. Every day in our lives, when we follow the Holy Spirit, there are things, you know, God may ask us to do, just like in service. The reason I'm up here today, okay? They came and asked me, they said they prayed. God asked me, you know, "Would you speak today?" I said, "Let me pray about it." It stuck with me. I prayed for a whole week, and I said, "Did y'all find anybody else?" And they said, "No." I said, "All right." You know, I said, "Lord, okay, I'm listening." All right. And the reason I say that is because I know in my spirit that God meant for me to be here today. Because the story I told this morning, to let y'all know a little bit about me, I try my best to follow Christ, you know. And coming here, when we first came to this area, we passed by this church. I pass this church every day going to work. And me and my wife passed by here and we said, that's a church right there. It's a United Methodist. But we kept going. We went to another church. We spent, almost 2 years there. But we weren't fulfilled. Okay? And then we start hearing things that we didn't like in the teachings. So we said, okay, we went to another church, spent another year. Same thing. We weren't fulfilled. And then we finally said, okay, we prayed about it again, and guess where we ended up?
Praise the Lord.
You know, and we was like, we should have went there the first time. You know, because everywhere we've been, we pray and ask God to guide us. He was guiding us here, but what did we do? We went our own way. So if you look back on the Bible, we spent 3 years in the wilderness when we could have been at home. Because when we came here, y'all made us feel at home. Okay? We were disobedient. And because we were disobedient, we missed out on all this love. right? And for my young people, when you are obedient, because we're being obedient now, God is lifting us up, okay? And my goal today is to, because I've read so many articles about people leaving the church, especially young people, because they say it can't relate. Well, I'm only 48, and God has done a whole lot in my life. And for you, I will tell you, listen, if you've given your life to Christ, ask him, pray to follow that spirit, okay? Some of the stories, some of my testimony is I shouldn't be here right now, okay? A lot of people, when they're 16, what they want, a vehicle, right? A lot of y'all want your own ride. Well, my first vehicle was a 500 Honda Shadow motorcycle, okay? And what did they tell my grandma? He ain't gonna do nothing but kill himself, okay? Because I was that kid, everybody thought, oh, well, he don't listen, okay? But little do they know, my grandma doted on me because most of the time it was just me and her. But I told them, I grew up on a farm. Before I went to school in the morning, I had to feed the pigs. My weekend chores was mowing grass, digging up her flower bed, okay, and picking peas, corn, cabbage, tomatoes, all right? I had to do all of that before I could go play and socialize, you know? And even if we went out to a football game or hung out with our friends late at night, Sunday morning, we were at church. Because she said, if you can go out there and hang out, play or whatever, you're going to be at church on Sunday. And we went to church at 7:30. Okay? So, you know, like I said, if you sitting at that pool, you was but somebody would be like, boop. Okay? But we were obedient to our parents. And because we were obedient to our parents, God always had his hand on us. Okay? Our job is to pray for our young people. Pray for the grandchildren. Pray for the sons and daughters. Because I tell people, to this day, I still live off my grandmother's prayers. And to go back to that Honda Shadow, that vehicle, the reason I say I'm not supposed to be here is because I did act a fool one day, okay? I jumped the railroad track on that motorcycle. And the way I was coming down, all I seen was concrete. But I didn't fall. But God, when my front tire, I was beyond vertical. But when my front tire hit the ground, I wobbled, it came up, I bounced. And my cousin was standing there looking. He was like, man, you dead. You know, we laugh about it now, but I should be. But God had other plans, okay? And from that moment, you know, I brushed it off. You know how teenagers are. I did that. You know, I came out all right, but it wasn't me. And later on in life, when I got closer to God in my walk, and I said, Lord, I want to be more about my Father's business. I want you to guide me. I want to submit and obey your will for my life. The Holy Spirit showed me that my life had been spared at least on 3 occasions. So there is a purpose for your lives. Okay? Listen, be obedient to your parents. Be obedient to the Spirit. If you're here in this church and God is putting it on your heart to serve in any capacity, listen. Why? Because he will bless you in the process. Don't be like Saul. He did what he wanted to do. He said, well, I kept these things for the Lord. How many of us have done that? We've been sent on a mission. We went out to do something, but we did it our way. They said, Lord, I did it. No, you didn't. You didn't follow what I told you to follow. Okay? And it's just like when I go to do stuff, the positive side that I always remember is God confirms everything he does. If he gives you a mission, If he gives you something, he'll confirm it, whether it be through somebody else, whether you constantly keep, you'll get it a few times. And so when you say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Okay, just like this morning, my message, I hadn't got that confirmation yet, but I got here early, pastor got here, and we were talking. It was confirmed. Okay, I believe in that. Because when that confirmation is there, then you know you're on the right track. And on top of that, when you're doing what God wants you to do, that's when the devil attacks. Okay? When you're on a mission and he wants you to do something, just like all week long, I've been getting stressed. Even yesterday, me and my wife, we were out. She was like, what's wrong with you? I said, but I'm trying not to get stressed because I know I'm under attack. Trying to get under my skin, trying to change my thought processes. So I just had to go somewhere and pray so I wouldn't lose sight of what God wanted me to do today. That's being obedient. And I'm far enough along in my walk with Christ to understand that when God gives me something, if the evil can distract you, then it'll distract you. But if you can push through, there's a blessing on the other side. Okay, don't be like Saul, get pumped up. He built an image of himself, boasting on what he did. But God came back and said, oh, no. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. And the reason why we should follow those instructions, okay, like I said, like we're in the military, why we follow instructions, you follow those instructions to a T. Why? Because God has other things that are affected by what you do, by what he sends you to do. There may be something else that he wants to come out of that. If you change the plan, then he's got to add something to make sure he gets the outcome that he wants. Okay? In my walk, when I chose not to do something, 5 minutes later, somebody else did it. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, I was supposed to do that, but I didn't do it. So what am I doing? I'm wondering what's coming, what punishment is coming, because I didn't do what I was told to do. And I knew in my heart and in my spirit that was for me to do. But God will. He always has a backup plan. He always has a plan. He always knows what we don't know. And he already knew that I wasn't going to move. I sat there. But somebody came right around and did what I was supposed to do. Okay? Pray and ask for strength to be obedient. Don't lose your blessings. Don't lose possibly your life because you choose to live in sin. In Romans 6:15-18, you get to choose. Do you want to live for the world? Or do you want to live for God? Okay. And a few more, I'll give a couple of more testimonies. When we were back in Washington State at Silverdale United Methodist Church, okay, we went to it was a little small Filipino church upstairs called Christian Bible Fellowship. SUMC was going through some of what we're going through now. And they had been trying to get these churches to merge so they could help each other out for 20 years. Okay. When we got there, I had retired out of the military. You know, they had asked me to be on one of the committees. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And God said, now is the time. But as with every congregation and every church that has been there for years, there are people that, nah, that ain't gonna work. We've been trying it for 20 years. We always get pushback from the council. No, now is the time. God said now, because they know we need the help on both sides. And guess what happened? Because people put aside their own beliefs or opinions, and we pushed it through. It went through without any problems. They merged. And they even set it up where if the smaller church wanted to break off later on after the churches grew, they could still do that. That's what God will do if you be obedient and follow what he wants us to do. Okay? One of my better testimonies is when we were in Korea, I was stationed in Korea, my last duty station. We went to a church off base, and God had given me a message. They asked me to teach that day about love thy neighbor. Okay? So God will test you to see if you're serious when you say you want to follow him. Okay? I gave that message. Okay? We always commune after service, and I had to walk to the train. My family had already come back to the States, but I had to walk to the train station to get back to the base. Not 2 minutes after I left, walking to the train station, this Korean man fell flat on his face. But I just got through giving a message talking about love thy neighbor. And people were walking by. I took 2 steps past him. I couldn't go no further. God said, what did you just give a message on? I'm like, okay, Lord. I turn around, help the guy up. He even swung at me because he had been drinking. But I helped him sit up. And when I looked up, it was about 15 Koreans. You know, and they had already called the ambulance because he literally fell on his face and couldn't get up. You know, but that's what God will do to test you. To see, okay, is your heart there? Because I said I wanted to be more about his business. I had to be obedient and do the things that he was giving me to do. And that was him confirming to see if I was serious. Because how do I look, how would I feel going, giving a message on love thy neighbor, and I walk by this man, leaving him laying on the ground, bleeding. Didn't know him, he didn't know me. But he's had plenty of people watching to see what I was going to do. And even in my spirit, I couldn't walk by. I turn around, pick the guy up, because I had to be obedient. All right? So young people, don't think God is never outdated. If you go somewhere and you don't think it relates to you, find your prayer closet. Ask God. Don't be afraid to talk to him. I talk to him every morning going to work, get in my car. Don't be ashamed, okay? Give God your heart, be obedient, ask to be led by him. Let the Holy Spirit be our guide like it's supposed to be. Keep us out of a lot of trouble, okay? One more thing for you, especially for you young people. Please listen to your spirit. Listen to the spirit in you. And I say that because when I was about that 16-year-old, growing up, we used to have that time period where we had to be home. They used to say before the street lights come on. Okay? I was hanging out with my cousins downtown. I stayed in the country, it's like 12 miles from town. And it took me a few minutes to get home. So we're standing on the corner talking, and my spirit said, hey, you need to go. All right? It's time for you to go home. And I listened. It takes me about 15, 20 minutes to get home. By the time I got home, the phone was ringing. That same group that I was standing on the corner with, one of them, my cousin, he was gone. Somebody came out of their house shooting. He's gone. Could have been me if I had stayed. But I listened to my spirit. Okay? Listen to that spirit in you. And because I listened to that spirit, my life was possibly spared again. Okay? We all come from different locations, have different experiences, but we all serve the same God. We're all family, you know? So if I call you brother, sister, don't get mad, because that's the way I look at it, you know? like this young couple over here, I always call her mom. And because she's a mother to me. And that's out of honor and respect, because she's probably seen more in her life than I will ever hope to see. Okay? Take that in. We live in a world where people are passing 40, 48, 50, 55. I don't know what their life is. I don't know if they trust in God. But God says, trust in me. Follow me. Be obedient to me. Okay? And you'll live a long, prosperous life. All right? In closing, I would like to read Deuteronomy 5:33. Walk in obedience to all the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. And I say that because when you follow God, he will bless you. When you're obedient to his word, he will bless you. I'm here. We're here in this area because we were blessed. Because after serving at SUMC, you know, at that time, I was only making about $37,000 a year with a family of five. Okay? And the cost of living there is not very different from here. And we got a house, cars, kids going to school, band, all kinds of stuff. I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? Okay. He said, the Spirit told me I had a mission there I had to fulfill. Because I had applied for hundreds of jobs. Hundreds of jobs. Okay. Wasn't getting nothing. You know, and one of the pastors said, well, it ain't time yet. You got something you need to accomplish here first for God. Okay. That summer or that spring, we had a revival. You know, went through everything, set up everything. It was an outside revival. Okay. Soon as the revival was over, I talked to the pastor because we used to sing in the choir and stuff. At that time, I was the lay leader at that time. And I said, okay, everything felt comfortable, settled into place, because he wanted us there for that time. Not 2 months after that, I got a job offer to bring us here with a livable wage, okay? And that's why I kind of regret driving by and not stopping. but I'm thankful, because God never gave up on us, because I almost gave up. You know, I told Pastor earlier, to be honest, I almost said, okay, enough. I can't deal with no more. You know. But God. When we drove by here and when we came in here, y'all made us feel at home. So for that, I truly am humbled and I'm thankful. And I thank you all for being a part of our lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you.